Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is episode 18. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
Yeah, and this is Douglas drinking another Bavaria.
Yeah, we got Bavaria again. Damien isn't drinking, no.
It's because I'm not a drunk bastard.
Oh, I will be by the end of this podcast. You heard what happened the last time I had some of this.
Right. So today we were going to discuss films we don't get, or before Douglas shouts at me in my headphone again, movies that the general audience seems to love, but we just despise, right? We're going to start our classic film marathon with Casablanca. Then we're going to be going into news trailers, and then we'll be reviewing Last Chance Harvey. So, Douglas, what do you think of our discussion topic, and would you like to start us off?
What do I think of our discussion topic? I think it's a fair discussion topic to have. If by what do I think of our discussion topic you meant what are your five movies that you didn't get, then...
I'm drinking Bavaria, leave me alone.
I'm sorry, I really shouldn't be that mean. Okay, so I guess I'll start us off. With this stuff that people should know that I don't get in your terms. And move on to the others. I've written about two already. And the first one I'm going to say is one of my close friend's very favorite movies. One of Andrew's very favorite movies, but definitely not one of mine, and that is The Blues Brothers. The first one, not the second one that generally everybody does hate.
I love that movie.
Have you ever watched that movie, by the way? Damien, what do you think about it?
It's alright, I guess.
Exactly! That's the thing, right? It's alright, I guess. You know, if you had to go with good or bad, I would say it's a little bit less than alright.
I lean it more to good than to bad. But
no, I lean it more towards like...
It's not a bad movie. I don't know.
I just don't think the movie's funny. Most of the time, the movie's not funny. I think I giggled once. The penguin scene, I looked at it and I'm like, this looks like it's, you know, a precursor of funny to happen.
So it's the Dane Cook of comedy movies?
Essentially, yes. And so, you know, I think I may have, I didn't chuckle, I didn't giggle, I may have snorted when, you know, he came out and he said one used prophylactic. I think maybe that was the one. I think that was a joke where I snorted. But that was about it. I mean, yes, you've got Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, in there. Oh, very nice. She's toting machine guns and bazookas and all sorts of rubbish. You've got John Belushi, who, by the way, I almost thought about writing just one little post just for him. Because, again, another thing that I don't get...
How many of his films have you seen? I know you don't like Animal House.
Yes,
I know you don't like Blues Brothers, but what else is there of his you've seen?
I've seen that war movie, 1964. And
oh, no one likes that movie, 1946, the Spielberg film. No one likes that.
Yeah, I've seen a few of his SNL things as well. He's just not funny. He shouts.
He
runs around. And he shouts some more. But
like Will Ferrell?
Yes, like Will Ferrell. You see the difference between Will Ferrell and John Belushi is that, like Damon is saying, one is funny and one is not. Right? Also, apparently he was a bit of a sexist, chauvinist kind of guy. So, that's not good.
So, he's a real man.
A real man. His bitch was in the kitchen cooking. Actually, that really shouldn't matter as to whether I think he's funny or not.
Yeah, it's not funny.
But he just wasn't funny. What was there about him that was funny? People will say, you know, the way he timed it and thing, but guess what? Oh, you know what else I also saw? I don't know the name of it. It was another movie with Dan Aykroyd in it, where there were neighbors, and he was like, you know, the upstanding individual, and Dan Aykroyd was this crazy guy with a knee brace. I don't know what that was. And he had blonde hair.
An Eckhart crazy guy with knee brace.
Yep. I can't remember the name of it. I'm sure, you know, all of you guys out there in internet land can tell me one day. Or if I actually get up off my ass and go to IMDb, I think that's what the site is called, I could find it. But whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, John Goodman. Oh, man. John Belushi on a whole, I don't really like. I don't think he's that funny.
And Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers.
Back to the point.
Blues Brothers. One of the movies I just don't... I think I somewhat understand why people like it, because it is of the same ilk of comedy as, you know, like Stripes, which I actually do like.
I love Stripes.
Yeah, and stuff almost like as well, Spies Like Us is a bit similar to that as well. But I don't know what it is. There's something about those movies, some sort of spark, some sort of mischief and, you know, just plain old fun that puts those... two specific movies and other movies like it that I do like. I can't think of stuff off the top of my head right now. That put those movies above Blues Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think I've spoken about that. Also, there's Animal House, and you kind of forced my hand there. I was going to leave that for later. Again, another John Belushi movie. Has quite a few, not big stars, but, you know, 80s stars in there. And again, I remember... part of my problem was it was too hyped up for me. I had a roommate named Ben. He was like, this is the greatest movie ever made. This is the greatest comedy ever made. You know, this is the first comedy where there was actually a score. That's how good this comedy was. That kind of thing. And then I watched it, and I said to myself,
"Man, it's not.
When am I supposed to laugh? Again, not that funny. There were a couple of scenes, of course. Yeah, sure. But overall, as a movie, it was not... you know, funny movie. There were situations that could lend themselves to being humorous if they played out the right way. And some of those situations, I look in there and I'm like, you know what, this could be funny. But it just wasn't. They didn't... I don't know if maybe it's my sensibility coming from the fact that I'm not from that time. That is not me. I'm not, you know, this... When did that come out? That probably came out early 80s, late 70s.
Which movie?
Animal House. 80s. Yeah, I mean, I was born in the 80s, but I don't really remember
the
90s. Exactly, I grew up during the 90s.
You weren't a college student at that point.
Yeah. But no, I was a college student in general, and I kind of relate to a lot of the... No, well, they kind of took it to an extreme, but I can relate to some of the things that they were doing in there. So, it's not that I can't fully relate, but I think maybe the type of humor that they put forward there, I couldn't relate to 100% because I'm not from the time. But at the same time, how can I not relate to that, but relate to stuff like, you know, Spies Like Us and Stripes and Caddyshack?
Because they're funny.
That kind of stuff. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like,
said,
it has to be.
He said maybe it's generational, that's what you're getting at. And, you know, maybe time will tell, maybe... Because all of us like the first American Pie, right?
I haven't watched all of it, I don't think, have I? But I remember,
liking it when I saw it, but I haven't seen that in decades.
Yeah,
so.
It's been a long time.
Right, but maybe...
I'll go along with you.
Right, maybe in like 10 years or so, what the generation after us, maybe they'll see it and go, you know, I don't see where all the fun is. Maybe, you know, some of the jokes won't hit as hard because... whatever context they were surrounded in, we have no real way to, I mean...
to visualize it, essentially.
We don't have any sense that, you know, like they make some reference to something and you just misses you because you have no idea what the hell they're talking about. Animal House, I won't say it's one of those movies that I don't like. I still kind of like Animal House. It's not... like, laugh out loud funny, as some people would have you believe. But comedy is really subjective.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's why, again, so, I don't like to say... even though when I write my articles on Andrewsite, I go overboard. I exaggerate. Just for the, I guess, the license of it. But I never like to say, you know, that was just unfunny. Because I know that, you know, though I like something, somebody will like it. And the same way, if I don't like something, somebody will like
people
it.
People like Dane Cook, and that's proof enough that comedy is subjective. Because me and you, if think we could talk for a year and wouldn't chuckle once. This lunatic over here clearly actually likes him.
So, no.
Oh, you're...
No. It's the other way around.
Oh, so...
Although than the grandma joke, I don't
care so much.
So it's unanimous that Dame Cook is...
No, it's not unanimous. I like old Dame Cook.
Oh, you're
like
the one that
I like Nana, you're a cheating whore, Dame Cook. But now he's falling off. You need to do something good, Dame. Come on.
Where's he going
get
to
back
get
in my good books.
Wow.
Maybe he can go and be in Danny in Real Life Part 2.
How about no? How about he leaves good movies alone?
I think that's the only movie he's in that I like. And I don't like it when he's like...
No, he was in Waiting.
Oh yeah, Waiting. No, but he was unknown at that point, and he got like two lines.
He wasn't unknown at that point.
No, he was known.
He was
pretty
very
big.
Yeah,
because he had the tour the same year. The HBO tour the same year that movie.
I don't think it was quite the same year, but it was very close. Yeah.
No, I remember seeing the movie, and the tour was on like a week or a month later.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I didn't know him at that time.
Yeah, you did. You know, Grandma, you're a cheating whore, because I made you watch it.
Anyways, yeah, any other movies you'd like to name, Douglas?
Oh, okay, well, I thought we were going to go one by one,
two,
but...
So.
Yeah.
Andrew, are there any movies that you don't get?
Movies I don't get. Well, I guess I'll start off with a movie that I have spoken of before on the podcast that I don't get at all, which is Stanley Kubrick's 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, but is that universally loved?
That's a good question.
I've heard people talk a lot of shit about that movie.
I couldn't tell you specifically about 2001, but what I can tell you is Kubrick. Mm-hmm. He really polarizes his crowd. Either you love him or you hate him. So I think I'm not going to side with Damien here, but I would say that it could be possible that you're not the only one in this.
Well, I never think I'm the only one, right? I mean, my general idea of thinking things is that if I can think of something, it means 20 people have figured it out 5 billion years before me, right? You know, but what I've come to realize is with films like that, if you talk to anyone who knows anything about film, they end up telling you how much they love this movie. How much this is one of the movies that established the space genre with the horror of the machine taking over kind of thing, right? And, I mean, I can say I kind of understand it, but at some points I just wanted to shoot the movie. I wanted to take my screen and throw it out the window, but I realized that bars on the window, so it wouldn't work. But really, people, why do you like this movie? It makes no sense. And what's even worse is that I have to sit through 50 minutes of monkeys jumping up and down.
Instead of shouting at the audience and asking them why they like the movie, explain better why you don't. What is it about the movie that you don't like?
50 minutes of monkeys. I couldn't stand that.
Fair enough.
Now we've finally gotten to people talking, which I think is my favorite part of movies. You know, people make fun of me saying that I don't like action. Guess what? I love dialogue. So after the first 50 minutes, I finally get dialogue, and it's some of the most boring, sleepy dialogue I've ever heard. Right?
Wow.
to every rule, there's an exception. Because if there weren't exceptions, the rule wouldn't...
Could you get back onto why you do this movie?
I do think a lot of the visuals for this film after, as I said, the first 50 minutes are pretty good for the time. Especially when you see
So I understand you're bored by the first 50 minutes, but you don't think that the visuals... Or some of the visuals
in that first 50 minutes.
I'm not talking about this is a great story.
No.
I'm talking about the actual.
No,
okay.
The visuals don't get anywhere near interesting until you reach space, which happens after the first 50 minutes.
Okay.
Right? The dialogue is piss poor. Some of the space ideas are kind of interesting. Like, you see this one shuttle where the woman walks in a circle.
Yeah, that way, yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. I mean, there are a lot of cool stuff in there, but otherwise, this movie has nothing to sit on. You know, it just bores you to tears and makes you makes you have to sit and appreciate only technical things, which, I mean, I can appreciate, but at the same time doesn't entertain me, and it makes me wonder what I had done with my 3 hours, because this movie is fucking long.
By the way, do you know the story of the score of this movie?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fun story. When I went to college, I did a music class. Really cool music class. I learned a lot of stuff about how music evolved and where what came from. What a very nice. Anyway, to get to 2001. How, at least in that time, a lot of movies were made, was that you make the movie, and even now, you always make the movie, but there's no music attached to the movie. You don't, you know.
Yeah, that comes after the fact.
Exactly, it comes after the fact. But people still want to look at the movie and see, you know, is this good, is that good, that kind of thing. So you kind of put a quick score in there. And what he did with his, which I think at least at the time was a general rule, was he took all this stock music. And by stock, I mean stuff that is really, you don't have to pay any royalties on it because it's about 200 years old.
Okay.
You notice all the music in that is symphonies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he put all that stock music in and he put it out there, let people play, watch it and thing. And then the guy, you know, behind the scenes was working on the score, really cool score. He's like, all right, I have it. I'm giving it to you here, Mr. Kubrick. Kubrick listens to it. He puts it down and he says, you know what? I've really gotten used to all of this music that I put in already. So I'm going to keep it. So a score was actually written for 2001, but never put in. And he kept in all his stock music, which is what you hear there. And I think they actually released the score as it was supposed to be on a CD somewhere. So it's out there, but it just never actually went with the movie.
Probably would have helped me liking the movie, because the first 2 minutes, you stare at a blank screen. And you just hear the audio come up.
And you don't hear something like space.
No. You just hear the sound start like... And it makes me worry when I was watching the movie.
Did I buy the right DVD?
Maybe Kubrick was high.
I believe he was most of the time.
Okay.
Another fun Kubrick-esque fact. You don't like this movie, A Clockwork Orange. Have you ever watched it?
Yes.
Damon, you like it or you don't like it?
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. Actually, I have it downstairs. The book and the writer of the book, Anthony Burgess, he doesn't like the movie. He actually doesn't like the book either. In a sense.
So he's also high.
Yeah.
Okay, he doesn't like what he wrote.
No. Kind of, but not really. Here's how it works. This was one of his early books, so he needed cash. And he gave it to his publishers. And he was like, okay, here you go. Here's a book. There, you have it. And the publisher sent him back. He was like, this is an awesome book, except for the end. So I'm going to cut out the last chapter. And he's like, but, and the publisher's like, here's cash. And Anthony Burgess said, okay. So the first pressing of this book came without the last chapter, where, you know, there's all this sort of, I can spoil it. So in the end of, with the movie, as with the first pressing of the book, the rebel, the main character, becomes a rebel again because they, you know, teach him all of this crap that they've pushed into his mind, and that's how it ends. But that's not actually how Anthony Burgess wrote the book. In the end of Anthony Burgess's book, the guy realizes, boy, you know, it's not good to do all of these things. You have to kind of grow up after a while, and then he grows up and he becomes a responsible human being. Or that's what he says in his letter in the beginning. I still haven't reached the end of that book, but that book is awesome. The way that guy writes is exactly how McDowell speaks in the book, in the movie. It's amazing. Anyway, so Burgess hates the movie and the book for that reason, that both the movie and the book end prematurely.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. Damien?
Okay. I'm going to start out with one of the obvious ones for Andrew knows, I don't know.
Yeah, actually, that was going to be one of mine as well. So go ahead.
Yeah, Blade Runner.
Oh, crap. Damn it. That's not mine.
To all listeners out there who aren't in the live chat, I'm telling Damien to fuck off right now.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I saw Blade Runner late.
Just really, like Star Wars.
About 15 years late. And that movie doesn't hold up. I don't care what you say. I don't care what excuses you try to make. The movie doesn't hold up at all. The acting is
bad.
Have
you seen the director's cut that had actually nothing to do with the director?
Yes. the acting in this movie is bad. With the exception of 2-3 scenes, like the interrogation scenes.
Scenes plural.
Right.
Okay.
Those are pretty well done. Everything else outside of that is kind of atrocious.
Sean Young is in the movie.
Right. The
she's crazy.
The vision that they had for the future, no. It's not working. I'm usually not the person to pick out, you know, costumes and costume designs and makeup and all of that. But it was done I don't know.
This is an 80s movie, you know.
Yeah, but
you know what
Terminator.
Those 80s people thought of the future as a man. Have you not seen all
Terminator
the
is set in the present?
80s?
Yes, yes. But Terminator's vision of a apocalyptic future was pretty. It's pretty well. I mean, you didn't see it for long.
But this wasn't quite apocalyptic.
No,
though.
Right. But even in Back to the Future, right? They had a lot. I mean, it was still 80s and, you know, far out and whatever.
Yeah.
But it was way more toned down than in Blade Runner. Right? But outside of all of that, the story. Someone like Andrew tried and failed miserably to explain to me what it is that they're trying to do with this movie. They're trying to say, you know, they're trying to come to a conclusion
about what is human. Just quick time. Please don't spoil it for me. I really do want to watch this movie, and I've watched maybe like the first hour on very many occasions. I've watched it so many times, but I still haven't got past the hour.
So they're trying to, you know, get to the bottom of, you know, what makes humans human, and how do you differentiate machines from people, and how would you be able to tell, and all of that. And I get all of that. That is wide. That is what they're trying to, on a large scale, that's what they're but the way from A to B is the worst. I've never gone down a rockier road. I mean, it's like climbing hills and but the only reason I watched this movie was to appease Andrew, basically. If it was any other reason, I'd have stopped watching this movie. As you said, you know, you've seen the first hour minute. I don't know why you stopped that many times, but I can guess that if the movie was really engaging, you'd have
it's for various reasons. It's not because
fair enough. But if you wanted to see it, you'd have seen it.
As soon as this podcast is over, we're all watching Blade Runner.
Whatever. I mean, this movie. I understand that people like it. Maybe you grew up and when you were growing up. Because I love Thundercats. And I love Jason the Wii Warriors.
I love Jason the Wii Warriors.
Recently, like a couple months ago, I went and I watched some of those episodes.
They're awful.
And they're bad.
You still
good Lord. Yeah. Because the inner child wants to like them. And won't allow logic to step in and say, no, Damien, these are bad. Right? So I still like them, but I know there's no objective way for me to defend these against anybody who steps to me with logic, because I'll be wrong. And it's the same situation that I'm promising anyone who claims that Blade Runner is one of the pivotal movie experiences of their youth. Rewatch it without the bias filter, and I guarantee you, a lot of what you loved will disappear. It doesn't hold up. And I was saying, you know, maybe it's the fact that, you know, it's an older movie. Maybe that has something to do with it. But then I saw Dark City like the day after, and that movie holds up so well, so incredibly well.
I'm not sure how much
9 years on.
It was awesome. Yeah.
9 years on. Bang. I had. I don't. At no point was I going, you know, this movie's I don't know. It's not connected.
Yeah, no, it has been connected. The full time.
Exactly.
Yeah. But by the way, just on another tangent, speaking of appeasing people, you watch Hedwig yet?
No, I haven't.
You bastard.
I have to tell you why I won the podcast.
Okay, okay, fair enough. Yeah. Alright, so can I go?
Sure.
Or no, have you gone yet?
Yes.
Yes, you have. Okay, so my turn again. So, I'm not certain how much this would be going against the grade, because at first I thought everybody loved this movie, but now I'm reading a few things and it seems as if some people actually are with me on this one. So I'm just going to put it out there anyway and just say this is one of my movies. My movie here is Crash. I don't know how much I've spoken about this.
No, this movie is generally hated.
Is it generally hated?
No, there's a lot of people that love this
movie. There's a lot of people that love this movie. I can tell you that much.
I loved it when it came out.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
I have the DVD.
It took you a very long time to come around.
Yeah,
I watched it once. I watched it once and I couldn't believe it. I was watching it. And after a while, I said, you know what?
Like, no one talks like this.
No, not even that. I was even talking about the talking. I just said...
These situations are ridiculous.
No, yes, that. They were ridiculous. And I just said to myself...
Where the hell is
the
storybook?
The cheesiest thing that could happen in this situation is this. And guess what happened? The same exact thing.
Right.
I mean, you know, I was like, I bet you those are blanks. And guess what?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
I'd like to just state in my defense... You know, yeah. I don't know how much you can say this happens to you.
You were high at the time.
No, I wasn't
all
high.
The time. It happens all the time.
I was not high. No, I wasn't drunk. But like, expectations can make or destroy a film for you when you watch it.
Yeah, that's right? True.
I had absolutely no expectations when I saw this movie because...
No.
I didn't know Ludacris was in it until I was in the theater.
Wow.
I was like, Ludacris, I should probably leave now. But no, I decided to stay because I spent my money. Me and my friends were like, let's go to a movie. And I'm like, all right, whatever. And I open the paper, I look around, and I see all these movies I don't want to watch, and then Crash. I'm like, what the fuck is Crash? I didn't even look up a trailer. I just said, let's go. You know, whatever. And I enjoyed it at that time, right? Yeah. However, when Douglas saw it, he saw it under the pretext of, this movie won an Academy Award.
Yeah, I saw the trailers and I was like, this doesn't look that great. But Andrew kept hammering it to me. I was like, alright, let me at least, you know, give it a chance. And I popped in the DVD because at the time, I think I was here on break sometime from college or something like that. And he had a DVD on him and I was just like, alright, let me watch it. But holy crap, it was awful.
No, awful might be too strong a word.
It's strong, but it's
just... I threw it around a lot. The movie is not good. It really isn't.
Yeah, there are worse movies.
Right.
So I shouldn't say it that way.
Depending on what you're looking for, it could be kind of okay movie. But the story and... I guess because we see... Andrew doesn't, but we see what is likely to happen in movies a lot earlier than Andrew does.
Yeah,
so I had the same problem. I don't have those blinders. I've seen enough movies to anticipate what the hell is coming up next. And there's movies that get away with it when they execute it well. This movie was not one of those
It
movies.
Was not. And you know what it is? It tried very hard. Paul Haggis tried very hard to do the separation of stories and then the culmination of everybody coming together.
Yes,
and
crash.
The crash, exactly. Some people do it very well. You know who did it? Well, it didn't come together as such, but you know who did the separation of stories extremely well? Was Babel.
Quran.
What's his name? No, it's not Quran.
It's not Quran?
It's not Quran. It's the same guy that did Peros.
Amores Peros.
Amores Peros. Okay. I can't remember his name. It's him and his writer who had a falling out, and I'm not sure if they've gotten back
together. I'm bringing it up here now.
That did that. Alejandro Gonzalez. There we go. Iñárritu. Yeah, yeah. So him. I know I pronounced his name completely badly.
Yeah,
but
that's funny. <Mexican. laughs>
All right. So, yeah, he directed that, and he did it very well. I actually really enjoyed that movie, Babel. Brad Pitt showed me again that he's not just a pretty face.
Yeah, but the movie's kind of... I'm not a fan of that movie.
Really? You don't like it? No. I mean, I understand that, like, it's...
kind of long.
It's kind of long. It's kind of hard to watch.
It peters out. It peters out towards the middle.
But I think the stories...
You're right. The stories are interesting.
You know, and that's acting, what kept me watching the movie the entire time. And the acting was really good.
Yeah.
It's just, by the end of the movie, I was glad that the movie was done.
Yeah, and I understand people not liking it. It's not a movie for everybody. But I think that this is a movie that better encapsulates that type of storytelling.
What you're talking about, it does a far superior job.
Agreed.
Than Crash.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So you know, I put it out there. Crash is my movie. As Andrew says, a lot of people hate this movie. And as I said before, I knew at the beginning everybody loved it. And then I've been reading a couple of things and I'm like, wait a second, people don't like this movie.
That kind of is crazy people. So Andrew, what's yours?
A movie I'd like to throw out there. I'm actually not very sure about how the general audience has accepted this movie. However, I'm going to just assume it's one that people like because it's a Coen Brothers film. It's Blood Simple.
You don't like Blood Simple at all?
Another movie in which I found ridiculously boring from the Coen Brothers.
Wow. Have you seen this movie yet, by the way? Okay.
I watched it for the first time the other night. I just stole Douglas's DVD and I decided to go and watch it. I think it's their first film.
Yes, it is the first one. And Bruce Campbell somehow helped them, though I was very upset to find that he was not actually in the movie.
I was about to say, I didn't see the movie.
Yeah, he helped them somehow. I remember when I was reading his first book that he wrote, which is fantastic, by the way. I mean, it's not some, you know, angst-ridden, hugely prosed-up thing, but trust me, if you have a book that, if you have, you know, a place on the shitter to put a book, put it there and just read a chapter every day, and it will, you know, amaze the hell out of you. It's funny, it's well written in a sense that you can just keep going, and it's fantastic. So, back to you.
Now, while I love No Country for Old Men, that movie was plain amazing. This movie seemed like a rough cut of what No Country for Old Men was. It seemed like they weren't very sure of how to establish characters in this kind of gritty world where no one talks for half an hour. They just do things. Right? And I mean, it just didn't work for me. I don't even know a lot of the actors in this film.
There are a few actors. I don't know his name, but there is the husband. He's a big guy.
I don't know his name, though. I can't remember his name.
He's in all sorts of movies. He's in Clueless. He's in a whole heap of movies. You know, then there is the guy's wife, Frances McDormand.
Oh, yeah, Frances McDormand. And there's the guy in the cowboy hat, who I can never remember.
I can't remember his name. McDermott.
I didn't like him at all.
He was fine. I thought the movie was... What do you think of the movie? I thought it was decent.
It was okay. When I found out that it was the first one, I kind of gave...
Yeah, I think I should give him a lot of
leeway. Yeah, you have to give him leeway. This is the first movie. Remember, like I said, I was reading in the book. I think there were like accountants before that, you know? Or at least one of them was. Or that's how Bruce Campbell referred. He's like, yeah, I helped these couple of accountants do this thing. Oh yeah, they're the Coen Brothers. I'm like, whoa.
They can count.
I think Nolan is the only person that, like, without giving him any leeway at all, his first movie, the following, was
Aronofsky.
Was
Tarantino.
No. Pie?
I'm talking about pie? First movies.
Right. Pie?
Yes.
Pie.
No.
No.
What was
I have to watch it again just to double check.
Alright, fine.
But
listen,
I remember Pi being awful.
I wasn't saying that he was the only one, you know, but I'm saying he, like, without any, you know, it's his first movie, so, you know, that movie, I don't need to give it any leeway, because that movie's great.
If you give it leeway, it's the best movie ever.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Start ranking you with shit.
You know what? I think that's better than The Godfather. Yeah,
this movie's phenomenal. It's all this other crap.
You know how I started trying to do this topic? I started by going to the IMDb 250 and going down the list and looking for movies in there I didn't like, and I couldn't find many. Like, I mean, there are a couple I'd argue for being in the 250, but I'd still kind of understand them. Like, what was it? I saw Star Trek in there at, like, 80-something.
People like it. I don't remember the first one too much. I'm more of a canon kind of guy.
No, I'm talking about the one we just saw. The new one.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't
know.
That's because of the...
Yeah.
Garbage.
Yeah.
The way that site rates the things, it's based on, like, hits and...
Dark Knight is still in the top 20, I think.
Exactly. I mean, Dark Knight is a great movie. Don't get me wrong. Right? I know your stance on it. But it's not... I would not put it in a top 10 list of all time at all.
Not yet.
Right? Yeah, I think it needs time. You need to. You need to see that the film will hold up.
Right after bias disappears, and when I can look back at this film objectively.
Exactly, because you can't.
I understand that.
No, no. And I'm sure there are certain films that I can't look at objectively either. But it's just, you know, I always say that to myself.
Like recent movies, I don't put them in like top 10 all time because I don't know.
You never know what you'll feel like in 5 years.
Exactly. It's like with my music, right? For example, you know... No, I'm serious. It's just like that. My Fuji's album. I remember...
I need another Fuji album.
I remember I got this Fuji album. It was like a bootleg thing. And I listened to it, and I loved like 2 songs and hated the rest of it. I think there were only like 10 songs on it. And I threw it down and left it. And then I came back maybe 2 years later... And I popped it in, and I loved the album. I loved all of the other tracks, and then those 2 tracks that I used to like, I was like, "Yeah." So it, you know, your tastes change on top of everything, but not just that. The kind of survival of the medium, or the not the medium itself, but the artifact, the survival of the film or the music, it kind of shows its worth. You know, if I can pick up something like Casablanca that we're going to talk about later. If I can pick up something that's that old, you know, and watch it today and say that, boy, this is still relevant, this still pushes some of my buttons, it still speaks to things and topics and, you know, that still resonate with me and with the general public, then that's something to be remembered and to be revered.
Okay.
Anyway,
Damien.
What was Andrew's second one?
Blood Simple.
Yeah, oh. Blood Simple.
Alright. I don't know.
Running Dry?
No. That's not it.
he's a bit too wet, I think.
The one that I want to say no, I think it's best to leave till last, because I might not make it off the podcast after I say this one. But what I'm going to say is, now, we here are big fans of Pixar.
I thought so. That was one of mine as well.
The funny thing is, it's not the one that he's thinking of.
Because
we all know I'm not a big fan of Up. But Up is not
what? Have you seen Up?
How have you seen Up?
Wally.
Are you going to talk about Ratatouille?
No.
I actually love that movie.
No.
It's great.
No. So,
I think he's going for Cars.
No.
Cars is...
No. Yeah. The one that I'm
Nemo.
Going to go
I bet
for.
You it's Nemo.
You guys no, are he loves high. High off at last.
I know for
you have that's his favorite
you
one of
them. Really his favorite? I like that one too, you know. I like it. But at the same time, I understand why somebody wouldn't right. like it.
So, Wally won't be on my list.
Okay.
Everybody knows that. But there is another Pixar film that is on my list.
Not Toy Story.
And it is...
No, relax.
Calm, fuck. Alright. Toy Story 1, not a fan. When I saw it, it was just another run-of-the-mill, Disney movie. It was toys and it was running up and down and it was doing all sorts of shit. I didn't get the depth that was supposedly there the first time I saw it. I recently rewatched it because we had some friends, small children over, and they loved that movie.
Yeah.
And so I was watching it and I kind of saw where they were heading with the movie, but it still didn't, I still didn't find myself really liking the movie. The second one I love. And in fact, all their others since then, except for the last one, are really big fan of. Even Cars. I mean, Cars is probably on the lower end.
Yeah, it is. But it's still okay. Good. It's still decent. Yeah.
If anyone else tried to make Cars, it would have been completely different. Thank God for Pixar for that one. But the first one, and I'm not really sure what it is that is not connecting with me. I don't know. Maybe because I didn't have. I don't know what exactly it is, but what Pixar was trying to get at just eluded me. I mean, I know what they were trying to say with the movie, because it's pretty clear. It's a children's movie. It's not like a Kubrick film where you try, where there's puzzles and all sorts of shit. It's pretty straightforward. But no, like, I don't like that. I know everybody, a lot of people love this movie. Love this movie. And people are falling over themselves for Toy Story 3, supposedly coming up. I love 2, but the first one, no.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to be honest, I haven't seen that movie since it first came out, so I'm not sure how it holds up for me. I remember liking it at the time,
though. Yeah, I remember thinking it was fantastic. But I've seen it, not recently, but probably within the last, say, 5 years, and I remember still enjoying it. So I guess it's my turn.
Yeah.
And okay, the next movie that I just didn't get, I think would have to be Wallace with Bashir. No, just joking. That's a stab there.
Yeah, I'm going to stab.
I haven't watched a whole of that movie, but so far I think it's great.
Yeah,
I still have.
No, we don't want to hear.
Anyway, no, the real movie that I'm going to say here, another one of Andrew's faves, you know, is
Pie.
Not Pie. I could say Pie
because Pie, you know, is not generally looked like.
I'm gonna leave it at Scent of a Woman.
Oh man, I love that movie.
Why? Okay, no, why? Please tell me why it's good.
Deep down inside, I'm just a little girl.
Well, that could be entirely possible. You know, we never know. Al Pacino is amazing in that movie. I love
rubbish,
it.
Rubbish.
That was the beginning of the end for Al Pacino's career.
Thank you, sir.
Okay? Al Pacino decided, you know what? Today, I am going to be much more emotive than any man
you
on the face of the earth.
Anytime ever.
I love that movie for the sake of Al Pacino. I think he's amazing in that film, and I also think I have to use the expectation defense.
True.
Right?
No, okay,
when I first saw this movie, it just came on TV, and we were like, Scent of a Woman, this movie looks like rubbish. It was me and my father watching the movie, and then we saw Al Pacino, and we're like, alright, we're going to sit down and watch it. And we watched it, and I just enjoyed it as a film. And also later on, noticing things like Philip Seymour Hoffman in it as one
Seymour
of
Hoffman is awesome, I have to say.
he is one of my
favorite actors. Because he can do comedy, he can do drama, he's the man.
Right.
Okay?
And I loved Al Pacino in that film. And I think everything comes down to that final scene in the auditorium.
The part of
the flamethrower.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I mean, every scene is, as far as I'm concerned, amazing.
Right. Well, you see, I'm on the other end of the spectrum. But you see, the funny thing is, at the same time, my expectations were not extremely high. Because I looked at the DVD before I watched it. And I saw that a man by the name of Chris O'Donnell is in it.
Robin!
second of all,
Max Payne.
That doesn't help, Andrew. Andrew, you need to say things that help your argument. But no, so my expectations, they were extremely low. Because at the same time, I was like, this is Al Pacino, it's an oldish movie, it could be okay. So I was like, you know, let's see what happens. But it just didn't move me at all. It was, I guess it's similar to one of those movies where it's one of those crazy adventure type movies that I enjoy. I like, you know that. I like the 80s crazy night movies and those, whoa, look at this Eurotrip type of movie. Actually, I didn't mind Eurotrip.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. Anyway, back to this.
Except Vinnie Jones being in my new shirt. That doesn't work.
Yeah, that does not work at all. Vinnie Jones, I will kill you. Actually, no, I can't.
Yeah, you probably
could. Yeah. He'd probably be like,
what?
Yeah, he probably
Peter says every scene in this movie was fantastic, yeah, but I kind of disagree. I think that every scene in this movie was average. You know, it was just this average movie about this guy that is a mean son of a bitch, but then turns out to be not that he becomes nice or that he is a nice guy, but because he bonds with this younger person, Chris O'Donnell, he looks out for him and does something that is spectacular, and then you assume that they form some sort of relationship that goes on forward. And sure, that story has been done before, but everything has been done before, as we've spoken about already, and I forgive that. But that kind of story and that kind of plot has been done well before. Weather. And this movie, yes, it has been done weather. And this movie, it was like, you know, essentially all it was a, like you like to call it sometimes, a paint by numbers type of thing. You know, boy meets older man, thinks he's a dick because he is.
No shit.
Older man, being the dick that he is, drags the younger boy all over the place.
Yes. And falls. And falls for younger boy.
Exactly.
And
you know,
younger boy changes his life. And yeah. He in turn changes younger boy's life.
There you go. And younger boy has a problem with which older man who now is in love with younger boy fixes. And I'm not saying that type of formula doesn't work. There are movies where it works and where I enjoy them. But this one just, there was something missing.
Okay. I can understand that, you know?
No, you can't. You've never seen it.
It's amazing.
Because it is.
The acting that Chris O'Donnell pulled off was spectacular.
I will see why he went into Robin.
Yeah.
Can we get that dude?
Yeah, you know? I mean, Chris O'Donnell had nothing to do with the fact that Batman was dead for about 10 years.
Alright, you know. While we're stabbing away at my movies, I'll say a movie I don't get is The Dark Knight. Wait, no, I'm joking.
That doesn't count.
Hilarious. That's like a Dane Cook joke.
At least my stab was something that was semi-believable. You know?
Yes.
What the hell is that? Come on.
Alright, I already stopped at the Coen Brothers, but I think I need to give them one more.
Which one is this?
Right? And I'm going to have to their latest film, Burn After Reading.
But how many people like that movie?
That movie?
Yeah, that movie?
Love them.
Actually, I watched it the first time and I thought it could be okay, but I need to watch it again. But at the same time, how many people actually said that movie was fantastic? That movie.
A lot of people.
Really?
Right, I read a lot of reviews for this film.
Because I read quite a few reviews that were like, okay, this is a Coen Brothers movie, it's their type of thing and it's okay, but that's all.
Nothing special.
Yeah.
A lot of their movies, with the exception of No Country for Old Men, didn't get immediate praise.
True.
It's only after...
Actually, no. You know what else got immediate praise was Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes. I wasn't reading reviews about it. But, I mean, a lot of their movies, only after it came out. Because I remember even The Lady Killers, that a lot of people...
Oh, that movie was bad.
A lot of people don't like, and I don't like. I've mentioned somewhere that I wasn't a fan and was, I mean, all I was left was for one of the moderators to ban me from the site.
So, and this is why you never write forums again.
I mean, me and forums. Apart from dealing with just blatant stupidity.
Actually, you know what's another movie from the Coen Brothers that a lot of people don't like? Is one that I think is spectacular. Well, not spectacular, I shouldn't say that. I'm over-exaggerating. I like it. I really do like it. Is Intolerable Cruelty.
I like that one.
I've never heard anyone say anything bad about it.
No. A lot of people are like, you know what? They dropped the ball.
Which is why
even though that movie, Intolerable Cruelty, didn't feel like a Coen Brothers film. So I think when
it was so ridiculous. Especially, you know what? Culminated in the Coen Brothers-esque nature of the movie was the trial scene where they are talking to Kraus the Baron von Espy. You know? And he's like, oh, you say put hammer on Fanny. Hey, husband!
I just like how the mix of, you know, bleakness and humor. I don't think anybody else gets it.
Well,
like,
yeah.
You should be there and you're like, what the heck? Why are they killing off everyone? In the middle, you're like, this is... It's
but you see, that's my problem. But you see, my problem with Burn After Reading is that it went a little too far into the bleak.
No, but what?
Wait.
No.
And
no.
They left the humor at the wayside.
You see, the thing thought that movie.
By the end of the movie, it was like it was so like the final wrap up. Where the head of the CIA was...
He's like, I was a hell of it, but...
Dying.
Let's just not do
it again.
Dying. Here's the thing, right?
I'm
in between both of you guys. You love it, you hate
love
it.
Love that movie.
I feel like I need another watch to make sure.
I was exactly where you were after I first watched it. And then when I had my top 10 of 2008,
I watched it again
and I confirmed all of my hatred.
Here's the problem about this movie, right? Here, well, at the end, and this has nothing to do with how good or bad or how funny or not funny it was in the middle or in the beginning.
Yeah.
But at the end, when you know he did that thing, I was just like, that's it?
Exactly.
Yeah, no. Wait, where is the, you know, what's happening here?
And that's what I love about the Coen brothers. They, you know, they're strategic, you know, the set of these films.
Yeah.
Right? Because they could have gone. No, but it's the Coen brothers, so they wouldn't have gone.
Yeah,
you know, they would have
like,
wrapped up everything in a nice
bowl
and give
you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like,
it's like No Country. Well,
exactly.
Then again, that's not their work.
It's like,
actually, did they write Burn After Reading?
Yes.
Yes,
so.
They did.
I think so.
Because I know they write a lot of their movies, but some they don't. For example, No Country, they didn't write that. I think they wrote a screenplay, but at the same, but it's based on a book.
Right. So we paid her, and what happened with him? I don't know, but he's got,
yeah. Yo, Burn After Reading,
this is
written by Joel and Ethan Coen.
All right. Yeah, I think this movie has potential to be like a,
If you say Big Lebowski,
I'm going to say a Big Lebowski. Because Big Lebowski, as I've spoken to you on this topic, not just
fan.
Privately, but publicly on this podcast. The first
fan.
Time I saw the movie, I was like, it's okay. Why is everybody, you know,
first
hyping this up?
I've seen
that
movie.
Then the next time I saw something new, and I was like, yeah, this is all right. And I kept watching it. And as I watched it, there were more things to
I'm
laugh
not
at.
That,
and
I'm
it
not
was
watching that.
Fantastic.
And you know what?
And I think this movie could turn out to be one of those.
You know what I believe?
I'm never watching that movie again.
You know what I believe
I've
about Burn After Reading?
How many times
to win
me
over. I've seen this movie. I out of my way to see the movie. 4 times. I like
what
on
don't
TV,
you like about it?
On TV, I've seen it like bits of it, and I'm just like, you guys love it.
Yeah.
There's something about this movie that has connected with you people. No.
No, but what is it that you don't enjoy?
No,
I mean, I'm not trying to smash you.
No,
I just want to.
It's not that
like, really.
The movie isn't bad enough. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm saying yeah, this movie. People keep saying they love this movie. This movie is harsh. No, the movie is a good movie. It's a Coen Brothers movie. So there's a standard that's there. Maybe it's all the bowling that. Because I've never been bowling.
I've never been bowling. Okay.
You two
that have never been bowling, you don't understand. Bowling, that doesn't help you with the movie, but generally, bowling is some fun. I did it once in my lifetime, and I would pay money to go back and do it again.
Anything
it's,
you do with
it's
friends
great.
Can be
yeah,
bowling.
Yeah, I know, but it's just, you know, I don't know, there's something about it.
I played shitty games with friends. Not a way
but
of a
bowling
time.
Seems like a game that... Even though you're bad at it, as long as you can laugh at yourself.
That's the thing, right? You laugh at yourself. You're like, holy crap, I just got on 10 balls in a row.
Did I just hit somebody
awesome.
On the other lane?
Sorry. I passed a free bowling when I was in the States.
Yeah, we don't have bowling.
That's not cool.
We don't have bowling here in Jamaica. I guess not violent enough for them.
Yeah, we need to, what it is we need to like line up some, instead of the pins, we have people in
yeah.
the back. Or like, what you do is you have people running around in front of the alley, and the more people that you hit is the more points you get. I don't know, that's probably how we
I go
the
bomb.
But I don't know, I the love that people have for that movie, I just, like I tried it. And that's the part that annoys me the most. Like I've gone out of my way to see if there's something that I've been missing.
You see,
like when people talk about the movie, there's this smile on their face and they're so happy. Like I want
some of that. It's not there.
I watch the movie and it is not there. It's not there. Like there's funny bits. But some of it, I don't know.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying. I get you. Anyway, whose turn is it? Is it yours or is it mine?
Yeah, it's Damien.
I think it's my turn. Yeah. Right. So,
No, let's keep going.
Okay.
He says we're taking too long, so we need to wrap.
Alright, so let's do this quick. No particular order. The third one is...
Oh, you're only on three? I think you've gone three already.
No, this is his third. Yeah, I was going to...
Because, no, I'm going on... No, my next one is five.
Yeah,
because
you
two
did
first.
Two first, right? Like a crazy person.
Four. But right. He told me to.
No one told me to. Sorry. Alright, so... it's Star Wars.
Which one?
The episodes 1, 2, and 3 is nonsense.
Okay.
No one loves those movies.
No, I was
so the fact that I said Star Wars.
No, yeah, but that's the thing. I was saying, is it 4, 5, or 6?
No,
or
right.
Is it just in
right.
general?
So it's more 4 than 5 and 6.
Uh-huh.
Subsequent viewings I've enjoyed 4 and 5 and 6 more. But 4. Like, people love the Star Wars, and 4 was the first. 4 is what got everyone excited and into the Star Wars. And again, I saw this movie late, so I don't know if that... I mean, I don't know if that has a lot to do with it. I've even gone out and seen the remastered ones, the one that Lucas fucked.
Those are
which is what is surprising to me. I'm like, alright, maybe if he went back and touched up some of the things, maybe it didn't help.
You know what I find funny? I find it a lot sadder to watch a movie which has CGI done in 2000 than a movie which has CGI done in 1970.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm like, yeah, this movie, like the movies. It's an okay movie for me. 5, 6, because they're so much more epic. There's, wars and shit going on, right? I could watch it as more a war movie than a science fiction, in the future, Jedi forces and nonsense. I guess because Star Wars has been so parodied over the years. I've always seen the parodies. You know, the lightsaber kid and all the shitty games and, people just being idiots just because of the name Star Wars. That is the visual image that I associate with Star Wars. Going back to the beginning, I don't see where it went from there to these crazy people. Like, the connection, like in episode 6, I see where, I can see where all these mad people came from. But 4 and 5 were, those were the ones that got people invested into the series and whatever. Is the reason, those first three are the reason why people went out and saw the second three and bought all the games and saw all the TV series. Like, watch George Lucas run this shit into the ground. Right?
I actually like a lot of those games.
You're crazy.
Some people like them, actually.
Yeah, again.
It's generally
crazy people.
Thought to be okay.
No, I've played a lot of the games.
Some of them are crap and generally thought
like
that, but some
Rogue
of them
Squadron, the flying games are pretty good. Factor 5 did most of them, I think.
The RPG one I liked a lot.
Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
BioWare did that. But that was like way later on.
And they had a couple shooters for that, which were cool.
No, I was not a fan of the shooters at all.
But generally like shooters.
But Star Wars, if I'd seen that as a child, I'd have been way into Star Wars.
Oh,
clear
yeah,
that
sure.
children, because children love even...
That's true. Can I tell you, by the way, the first movie, I'm sure it's not the first one I saw, but it's the first one I remember seeing. was Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, we had that on tape.
I know.
And watch
I
it
loved
every
it.
Year.
So, and I watched it when I was like 10 or 11.
The same kids that we had over recently. They saw Toy Story. They saw Inkheart, which no one should ever see.
Inkheart?
Inkheart. It's Brendan Fraser's...
Oh, Inkheart. Oh, yeah.
Inkheart.
Can I tell you that Brennan just Fager's came out in theaters
yes,
here
yes.
now?
Latest
yeah,
travesty. That movie's bad.
Yeah.
All sorts of bad, up and down. And we saw the first three Star Wars. Because we didn't want them outside. And we saw them. And they hadn't seen Star Wars. As soon as the movies were finished, they were fighting with their Lucas was a genius, and then to see what he did with the rest of the series.
Yeah, what the hell happened to him? Did he get hit in the head or something?
I'm glad that I wasn't as invested in Star Wars as I was in Indiana Jones. Because Indiana Jones, he did it with one movie. If I had to sit through three, I'd have killed him. Like, seriously, guys. You guys are fucking genius. I mean, someone needs to stop this man.
Oh, Indiana Jones.
Like, just like the next time he makes some public appearance, shoot him.
And you know what though? You had the... Well, I don't know how you view the latest Indiana Jones movie. But you had the good fortune to actually have a half of a movie that wasn't too bad. The first half was actually enjoyable.
Yeah, Indiana Jones movie. And then...
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden...
And then
shipped
to space.
My point is, the Star Wars, you didn't have that.
From episode one. Episode one is so bad. My sister brought that back. She went to Atlanta, and that is... all the things she could bring back for all viewing pleasure, she brought that back. She's like, someone gave it to me. They love it. I'm like, really? Like, I saw the movie, like...
All I have to say as regards to episode one is a Spaced. You've seen Spaced, right? During the first season of Spaced, is before Star Wars 1 came out and when they were prepping for it, right? And apparently, right, Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg were trying to get the rights to have, like, the Star Wars theme in there at one point for, like, an episode, but they couldn't get the rights, so they had to, like... sing the Ewok song themselves in a recording studio that played that while they were pretending to watch it on TV. And then in season 2, after episode 1 came out, they had the episode where you saw Simon Pegg burning all the Star Wars stuff. And at that point, he finally got the rights to play the song. So he could play the song.
Jesus Christ. I'm just glad I wasn't invested in
it. Yeah.
Lucas would have... It would have been pretty. So sad.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess it's my turn.
Yeah.
And this is my last one. I'm going to take
it
very quickly.
Everyone's last one.
Right?
Yeah, let's just list them off now.
And I'm just going to stab you right here in the back, in the heart, everywhere. My my last movie is In Search of a Midnight Kiss.
You're going to hell.
And it's another one where it's not that I hate the movie. I just think...
No, you're going to
hit. No, it's not that I hate it. I think it's...
We're no longer friends.
Okay. But I don't understand how you could say things as gushing as you said them about this movie last week or the week before.
I'm Damien. You're going to hell.
No. I watched that movie. And, okay, it's a good... It's an okay movie. This is the type of movie that I like. Okay, you know me. I love Before Sunset, Before Sunrise.
This is why
I love all the
80s crazy
things. I look at this movie and I'm like, but this movie is just average. Why the hell did Damien tell me that it was the greatest movie ever made? You know, it's just like, whoa, the movie to me is meh. That's how I would review the movie.
I think you've been working too hard.
Alright, I know a movie that I just don't get, but I don't think I have enough time to explain.
By the way, you have two.
Two
go.
I don't think I can think of two.
I thought you weren't you the one that came up with this idea? You're supposed to have all five, you know.
Is Boogie Nights.
Alright. Yeah.
Silence in the room.
I think there's something in your
right. I'm a huge fan of Paul Thomas Anderson. I love Punch Drunk Love.
You're not.
I love There Will Be Blood. I love Magnolia. But Boogie Nights, it just didn't click, right? And I'm just going to leave it there because I want to finish this up quickly.
Sure. Do you have one more or no?
No, I could name something randomly, but
okay.
It won't mean anything.
There Will Be Blood.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that I thought was going to be subbed. There is
really?
No blood.
Like it?
There's blood for like two scenes.
There's going to be a lot of blood here.
There's a lot of chatter. His performance, let's get this out of the way, was astounding, that performance. The movie's boring as shit. But God, what is wrong with you people?
What I want to ask is how you guys restrain yourselves from naming Wally.
No, I already got that. I said I wasn't going to put Wally on my list.
We kind of know that it's there.
We know. Everyone knows our position with Wally. It's pointless to talk about constantly after the podcast.
Alright, so you have another one to say or no?
There's a few more. There's Adaptation. Not a
really? Did you like it?
No.
I love that movie.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Also, not a fan. I don't like the movie.
Breathe in.
I don't like the movie.
Breathe out.
No.
David.
Breathe in.
I mean, David, I
don't give a shit what you guys
say. I can deal with the fact that you're an Arsenal fan, but.
Fuck y'all, niggas. It's just not mine. It's not my cup of tea. I don't want to be, a word I heard today in the shitty movie that we're reviewing. It's cantankerous. I don't want to be cantankerous.
Thank you. At least one more person thought that movie was shitty too.
But there's a couple more, but we don't have the time to get into them, so they ran out of time. But those are the other two that I know people love those movies. Love those movies. But I'm not one of those people.
Okay, so I guess that's it with this discussion.
We're going to be moving now into our classic film review of the week.
I guess what a classic film is. The film that was actually, really, nobody realized this, but it was about time travel. And that movie is Casablanca.
Oh, yeah.
Casablanca, city of hope and despair, located in French Morocco in North Africa. The meeting place of adventurers, fugitives, criminals, refugees lured into this danger-swept oasis by the hope of escape to the Americas. But they're all trapped, for there is no escape. Against this fascinating background is woven the story of an imperishable love and the enthralling saga of six desperate people, each in Casablanca, to keep an appointment with destiny.
I was willing to shoot Captain Reno, and I'm willing to shoot you.
All right, Major, you asked for it.
How much I still love you.
I know a good deal more about you than you suspect. I know, for instance, that you're in love with a woman. It's perhaps a strange circumstance if you both should love the same woman.
What do you want for Sam?
I don't buy and sell human beings.
That's too bad. That's Casablanca's leading commodity.
You can ask any price you want, but you must give me those letters.
That's no deal.
All right. I tried to reason with you. I tried everything. Now I want those letters.
Yes. A movie that stars Humphrey Bogart. And Andrew, you may begin. And so are you going to begin?
Humphrey
Andrew,
Bogart
go ahead.
Is a man's man.
Yes.
He's so when you look up man in the dictionary, they should have a picture permanently stamped.
So
there's no pictures anywhere.
So to everyone out there listening and knowing me personally, you can thank Damien, right? Because I don't think there are many classic films out there that I would have found the time to go out and watch. I keep telling myself I'm going to watch them,
because
but I never do it. Right? So we're going to start a classic film marathon. We decided to start it off with Casablanca, and Damien suggested, so I'm going to let Damien start the review.
Alright, so the movie is about... it is set in Casablanca. And Casablanca, it's basically an airport. That's basically what it is.
That's what it's portrayed in the movie.
Right.
It's an airport with one bar.
Right.
They have two. But the other bar is shitty.
Yeah.
And Bogart's bar is the shit.
Because he's a merc.
Can I tell you, I find it really amazing how shitty and the shit, you know, so close to completely different.
Yes, the makes up. Right. Back to the review of the movie. And so what happens is Casablanca is the last place for Europeans to go on their trip to get to America, the land of promise.
And you have to pretext it by this film is during
World War II, where it's not quite that they're coming to the land of promise. They're running from the war.
So it's a haven, basically, or so it is portrayed in the movie. America is just better.
Hey, don't knock it. Back in those days, America was better.
Right.
No, it was better.
I'm sure it was. But that has nothing to do with the movie.
Okay.
So, Mr. Bogart runs a bar. Shocking. And he is the man. Everything goes through him, because he might as well have been the mayor of the town.
Even though they play up the other guy as this big criminal person,
right.
But he always seems to have the...
So, you mean the other bar?
Yeah, the other bar guy. Oh. The big fat dude.
Yeah.
So, what happens is there's this this leader of some... Resistance group, right? That has come and he needs transit papers to get to America to flee from the war, because he's constantly being persecuted by the German army. And he brings with him this wench. Sorry.
You could not be talking about Ingrid Bergman.
Phenomenally beautiful woman. Along with him. And she and Mr. Bogart had relations in a previous time, so it caused some contention. Because Humphrey has the papers, but doesn't really want to give it to them, because he wants to A, keep it for himself, and B, spite them.
Actually, I don't know if it's as much as keep it for himself.
No, because he wanted to leave.
I don't think he wanted to leave.
At some point, he thought about leaving.
But at the first time when the guy came to him and was like, I know you have the papers. He was just like, screw it.
I have everything here. This place is the shit.
Yeah.
As we've mentioned.
Yes. And so the movie revolves around this love triangle, while at the same time this escape plot towards the end there to get people from one point to the other. And this movie is a classic for a reason. This movie will stand the test of time. Now, if the earth is around in another 2,000 years and people are projecting images into their eyeballs, this movie is still going to be phenomenal. This movie, the music is what stands out most about this movie for me, because the score is based around one song.
Yeah.
And they have different variations of the song throughout the entire movie. They have it played live, they have it instrumental, they have it as transitional music. And the movie, the acting is superb. The direction is so well executed, right? And it's a fun light movie, even though there's some overarching, you know, lessons that they're trying to, you know, bring out, it never weighs down the movie. It's still engaging the whole. Never feel as if, you know, the director is trying to force some issue where it has no place to be in this movie. And I really love this movie. And this movie got me props with mommy. Mommy thought I only watch shitty movies. She was like, "What the hell are you watching? Casablanca?" And she's like, "But what? You watch good movies?"
So but then I can tell you the other way around. You say, "Yui, I'm going to watch Casablanca." They're like, "What the fuck is that?"
Yeah, but they don't care about all.
Can I tell you, I remember when one weekend I said, you know, if I was going to watch Seven Samurai, right?
I know.
For the first time, people are like, "What's that?" You know, it's a movie from the 50s. They're like, "You watch movies that old?
What the hell is wrong? Stop watching shitty movies."
Anyways, Casablanca, right? What I loved about this film, I mean, first of all, whenever I watch an older movie, right? Because at that point in time, they didn't have what we have today in technology-wise. The directors knew they couldn't make mistakes. They couldn't have...
Man, this long tracking voice is so awesome.
Right? I keep thinking, like, I keep telling you about when I had the German film class and I was watching films from the 30s. And, you know, I would watch a film and the guy would be like, you know, this is the first movie where the guy figured out the idea to put a camera on a track so you could move it while the shot was going on, and you're like, "Oh, cool." You know, even though we've done that shit billions of years.
Michael B has that done.
Right? So the direction, as you said, in this film is perfect, but what I love most about this movie is character interaction, right? Especially the interaction between Humphrey Bogart's character and the police captain. Captain Renault, right?
Dialogue.
Right? I mean,
truly,
nothing beats the scene where the Captain Renault sits down at the table with Ingrid Bergman and Victor Lazenby. I think it's Lazenby, or is it Lazenro? Laszlo. And he's like, "No, don't worry, I'll put it on my bill. You know, it's a funny game. I order drinks, they bring me the bill, I tear up the bill." Things like that are just amazing to me, right? And these movies are the kinds of movies where one-liners rule it all. You've already heard all the lines parodied, mentioned in movies before, you know, of all the gin joints in all the towns in all these countries.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Even though I did feel watching the movie that they could have used that line less. Here's looking at you. They mentioned it like five times.
It's because you have heard that line, you know, before seeing the movie. You, like, know the line, like, even though you hadn't seen the movie.
Like, the first time he mentions the line, it felt special. Yeah. It felt special. It was when they were in Paris together, and he was just, they were all about, you know, no questions asked. He was like, "Okay, so
here's looking at you." If it was the first time you heard that line, and it's the first time you saw the movie, right? What? No matter how many times, every time he comes together with her and he's like, "Here's looking at you," it would have been special. It's because we know the line, even though we haven't seen the movie.
Right? Another character who I enjoyed, even though he didn't spend as much time in the film, was Peter Lorre. He was the guy who brought in the papers at first. Right. He only spent like the first 20 minutes in the movie, but I enjoyed him for when he was in the film. It was cool. Even that accent he put on, it was just interesting and different.
The accent, some of them are terrible, but it's just so... It just fits the movie so well.
And can I tell you, by the end of the movie, I fell in love with that song once all over again. You know, a kiss is just a kiss, a sigh is just a sigh.
I love that song. I didn't even know that this movie was.
No, I didn't.
That song became popular.
No, I didn't either. I knew it from a long time ago, and from I heard him start playing the song, I knew what song it was. But oh,
sure.
And as you said, the music in general.
Why don't we get shows like this anymore? I don't want to say.
Because all you people want is Iron Man.
That's a lie. I don't want Batman.
Anyways, Douglas, what did you think of Casablanca? And first of all, was this the first time you were watching this movie?
No, it's not. I've seen this a couple of times before. However, I didn't remember it. It's been a long time. So this kind of was like, you know, it's almost like you're a virgin again and then you watch it again. Yeah.
You're never a virgin.
Only Madonna.
Sorry, cones.
No.
Okay.
Straight. Stop lying to the kids.
Alright, so yeah, so like I said, I had watched it a couple of times, but a long time ago, so I hadn't remembered, and this was a refresher, and this was a welcome refresher, because as you guys say, it was fantastic, and it's a classic for a reason. I'm searching for things to say.
Yeah, everything.
You know, but you guys have really tied it up in a nice, neat little bow. It was extremely well done. The story itself just stands, like you say, the test of time. I mean, this is like a love story. Where not only is it a love story, but the two main characters,
a proper love triangle.
Yeah,
I mean, we have a lot of our movies now.
But forget the triangle though. Let's just talk about the line between Bogart and Ingrid Bergman. Those are really the two main love characters. I mean, there's a husband, but the husband doesn't play a big role, and he's there in the sense of, you know. Oh yes,
he's,
I know,
the
he loves
they're not
her.
Together, right?
I mean, and she loves him, but he's more like I said, the reason
they're not together,
as opposed to the love
fighting
of her life.
Right.
So, I like the way that, you know, in this movie, in the end, the two lovers don't get together. The one, you know, Bogart decides that, you know what, I'm going to do. I'm going to be the big man, you know, the bigger man, and do the thing that is what should happen, which is, you know, make the husband go with her, which is
the
best, the noble thing to do, exactly. So there's that I enjoyed in the end, and essentially the movie itself was good. I love the visuals, as Andrew says. They didn't have much CG back then.
I like that shot when they were in Paris and they were rolling. Rolling the image behind them.
Yeah.
Love it.
So yes, there's a couple of cheesy shots like that. Which are good to look at.
But it didn't detract
us. Exactly.
It just made the movie feel more right.
And actually, like, there was the hammy type of acting, which a lot of those movies did back then. But it still didn't take anything away from the movie. The story remains intact.
When story and dialogue is well done, there's not a lot you can do to fuck up the film.
I agree with Andrea a little bit in the sense that Hiroyuki and Yuki was a bit overplayed. But
I still think
that's
it's
okay.
Because we've
that's
heard
okay.
the language.
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
No, I think he used it other places a couple of times where he was trying to force it. He was like, you know what? Hiroyuki and Yuki in times where he could have just been like, yeah. But I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. That's just the dude being the dude. He can't be anything else.
And he is the man.
Yeah, he is the man.
No denying.
So I think, you know, it's three thumbs up here. And I would hope, but I'm sure that nobody thought that we were going to say anything different.
Right. If there are people out there that don't like Casablanca, keep that shit to yourself. Honestly. We don't need to hear it. No one cares. Keep your black heart far away.
Alright, yeah. So that's that. Next week we'll be talking about Citizen Kane. Right? But now we're going to be moving into the new segment.
Right. And this is our speed section, new segment. People have been complaining that we've been spending too much time talking about
really?
News.
Alright, so first thing in the news I wanted to mention was a lot of TV shows, their season finales came up, and a lot of them have ended up being cancelled or renewed. Right?
Really? I thought that there was a third option.
Okay. Well, you know, some of them stand up in limbo. Whatever. Let's go through the cancelled ones. Number one in the cancelled list, My Name is Earl. Right? I don't think I've watched more than two episodes of this show, but I know you guys are huge fans.
I've seen maybe half of this series total. I just love it.
Right.
It's great.
I've only missed one season. And
was it this season?
No. The season before. And the reason, I started watching late,
and I decided I'm just going to skip the season. I really want to come in halfway. It's not that they're telling one long continuous story.
Yeah.
No, they kind of are though. Some of the things
rely on you knowing on. Yeah. But this season is so good. Crabman turns out to be a CIA operative.
No, but you knew that. Wait, operative?
Yes.
But you knew that he was in the witness protection program from before.
But you don't know why. And it's because he worked for the CIA, and those episodes are off the charts hilarious. Crazy funny. Then the guy who owned the crab shack.
Uh-huh.
They did
I didn't know there was a guy who owned the crab shack.
They did an inside probe as to why he's missing. And it's... Look, the show, you know how the show works. He has a list, every episode he ticks some off the list and gives you some cheesy, moral at the end of the show. But that doesn't, and it works. The formula works. They could have gone on with this for as long as they wanted to. It stayed consistently funny. I really don't know why they cancelled it. But if you're not getting the rating, I don't know what else it was. But no, it came out on Thursdays. Because Scrubs is
Thursday. Yes, Scrubs is Thursday. Because not only that, but
30 Rock.
30 Rock
Scrubs,
and
The Office. Scrubs is Wednesday.
Right. That's
Scrubs
huge.
Is Wednesday.
Yeah, 30 Rock and The Office is honestly, I haven't watched 30 Rock and The Office. Well, no, but it's not on Thursdays. Is it on Thursdays at the same time?
Right.
But
it's on the same channel. It's on the same channel.
That's actually a good thing for them.
Yeah, but I don't know if, something else is taking away the viewership. I don't know what it is. But... the good thing about early is because they weren't telling one big overarching story, it's done. You can still watch it and enjoy all. You can watch any random episode and enjoy it. You can still watch all of them and you won't go, "Hush, I wonder how all of this would have ended." But the end of the season, there was a bit of a cliffhanger, but
you can live with it.
Yeah, it's not anything you're going to go. I just need to know. You guys need to make a movie or so. No, but as it still shouldn't have been canceled.
And Jason Lee really showed his comedic prowess with this show. Because I mean, when I first started watching this movie, it was because
show.
I was a
same.
Thank you very much.
It's a little
show. Exactly. It was because I was a big Kevin Smith fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he's been in other Kevin Smith movies, and so you see him there, and you're kind of like, he can play this kind of like mean, funny guy, but can you play this Goody Two Shoes character, which he is just, he's
the
perfect.
Moment, yes.
You know?
He does talk about
it. Yeah. Anyway, apparently,
Another show that got cancelled out of the loop was
Terminator
Sarah Connor Chronicles, which I have mentioned my hatred for from episode one.
Sir.
Okay, here's
your
the thing. Alright, my retort is, I admit, a lot of this season was very disorganized and very out there and just not that great. But, I have to say, the season finale made up for everything. It was great. I enjoyed the season finale and I was hoping that, tell you what it was that they were like, oh boy, we have awful numbers, let's try and make this thing better. And that's what they did. And they made it great for the last episode. But I guess
no
it was too little
it. Yeah.
Too late, you
no
know? So
no
I will cry a tear, when I go downstairs. But I guess that's how the world turns, how the cookie crumbles, all of those cliched remarks.
All right, one show that's in the middle of this cancel renew is one of our favorites, Douglas, Flight of the Conchords. The Flight of the Conchords series is done, all right?
Is it officially done?
It's officially done.
They have made a statement.
I don't know.
So how can it be official if
because
official
Andrew says it is?
Well, I read on Chud.com that it's done, and I'm going
Andrew
to believe Chud.
You see, the
he's
thing
head
is,
of the
Flight
of the Conchords official fan
yeah.
He
see,
says it's...
But the thing is, right, I read an article where they said it seems, and I agree with them because of the way the last episode ended, it seems that the Flight of the Conchords is finished, but... there is this other movie that they're doing. I didn't see an official statement, but again, I have been very busy lately, so you clearly...
I haven't seen anything other than what Chudder wrote, and I'm on the side of believing them, mainly because of how this season ended.
Right.
Right? It ended in such a way that, yes, it's done, they're gone, whatever. Right? And but apparently the duo of Britt and Jermaine are coming back in the... shape of some horror series or something?
Not series, movie. It's a movie, apparently. I didn't get to read the article properly, so you... I hope you have it open. I mean, you're the one that, remember, you organize all these news items. So as the news organizer, you should really read each of the articles. But anyway, I read like a piece of it, a snippet, because it was, you know, Brett and Jermaine. And, oh, this is the same article I read, where they said it looks like the second season is cancelled, but guess what? There is a horror movie on the way. And it stars them, and there's a little bit of a blurb here talking about what the movie is.
Yeah, it had something to do with... people, Damon is shouting at me for time.
I did not shout.
people talking about in a medical facility and there being guinea pigs and things happening. I haven't read it properly, but you know what? I don't care.
Yes,
it's Brit and Jermaine. I'm right. Going to watch it.
It still won't be funny.
See, by the way, is Andrew? Is this the article that you read that said that the episode is finished? The shows are finished.
What are you about to point out to me?
No, is this the article?
Yes.
Okay, I'm about to read what they have in the article. From Chud, Devin the Douche Farachi says, with the finale of the second season of Flight of the Conchords on HBO, there's been a lot of talk that the show about the New Zealand comedy folk duo was coming to an end. The last episode definitely had a certain finality to it. So what's next for these guys? Okay, sorry, I'll stop there. That's all he says about the show ending. So, that is the official statement.
That's confirmation.
Confirmation.
That's all the confirmation I need. Anyways. Another show that got renewed. Two shows that got renewed this
Dollhouse.
Season.
Dollhouse. Yes, I know.
My fan favorite, Dollhouse. True. I don't know. You guys
no,
haven't
no,
seen it.
No,
I don't
watch it. No,
I'm sure it's phenomenal. But what else is it?
Exactly, really and truly.
Go and watch season one. I'm going to buy the
yes,
DVD.
Yes, sure. Season one, Dollhouse.
No, quiet. You don't buy the DVD, Andrew. You buy the Blu-ray.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to buy the Blu-ray.
Thank
another show that got renewed for another season is Scrubs.
But how? They said it was over.
No, they didn't say it was over. Apparently what they've done is they've signed on Zach Braff.
La, 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 la.
Anyway, all of the main characters from
but
the show...
Shot
have
no, you do not say!
Douglas is lying. He's lying. All the main characters, except for Carlo. She's still in the transition period of being signed.
What the
have
hell
signed
is
on
she going to do?
For like... part episodes for the next season.
Yeah.
And they're going to try and transition it into a multi-camera thing where they follow all the interns, all the new interns.
Right.
However, I'm afraid that it's going to turn out to be more of the same that we've seen already, all recycled again.
Right.
Essentially, what you're worried about is what I worry about with all these fantastic artists and
start
music
over.
That I like.
Right.
Not just start over, but like... Have you noticed a lot of the people that are great when they're young, especially in music?
Yeah.
When they do like all these older albums, and you know, they'll decide, I'm going to bring on all these younger artists to sing with me because I like them. All those albums are crap. And I think that this is what Scrubs could turn out to be.
We had 8 great seasons. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, no, 7. I didn't like season 7 at all.
Whatever. 8 great seasons. Is Smallville being picked up for another?
I don't know anything about Smallville.
Like that show.
I love it.
Chucky's getting picked up, but I haven't watched an episode of it.
Hate
that
Superman.
Looks good.
I should watch Chuck.
Yeah, I want to try and watch it.
I'm just going to make predictions here about what's going to continue. Law and Order will continue. CSI, you can't forget that shit. Lost.
Maybe.
No, there's one more season. They claim it's one season more and they're done.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Yeah.
Sopranos as well. Mm-hmm.
Kojima says he's making one more Metal Gear game. The first one. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're going to come to me. What's the next news item, sir?
apparently Spielberg is producing a Martin Luther King Jr. biopic.
Okay, yeah, let's go.
Moving right along.
Who's going to play?
No news about directors or actors or
if they want to make a lot of money, there's only one place to go to.
Denzel.
Will Smith 100 million.
But £7 didn't make it, did it? Did £7 make the money?
I think it did worldwide.
I think it really did.
Yeah, like it's great, but it still made it.
Let's stop.
What?
Next item.
Well, see, I've seen this movie already.
Another item that came out this week, right, is that Martin Scorsese says he wants to direct, has been approved by the family to direct a Sinatra film.
Okay, and again, on top of again, which, let's stop. DiCaprio is going to be the lead. Next item.
Does he have the rights? Does the family own the rights to this film?
Yes.
Okay. So it says approved by, what the hell, couldn't they just have said he has the rights? I don't care who.
No, but it's more, it's because there have been a lot of films which have touched on Frank Sinatra, mm-hmm. but none of them, I think, to date have ever been approved by the family themselves.
And that
are they hitmen? Is it a family of hitmen? I don't understand. Who the hell cares?
Yeah.
Honestly,
Andrew. It's not saying...
I mean, if they're going to give us special insight, I made the movie better, fine. But outside of that, I don't care where he gets the rights from. I hope it's a good movie, because I have a funny story about this. There's a...
About Sinatra?
Yes. About his music. There, Abba, and I shouldn't call him a friend. There's a person at work who was trying to convince me that he knows a lot about music, despite by many attempts to prove otherwise. And one morning, a Frank Sinatra song was playing in the lobby. One of the three that we play over and over again.
Oh, do you have that in your yes. place where it's just the same music over
yeah,
and over?
Yeah, but we have a lot of music. Some of it is good, of course, Frank Sinatra. Some of it is atrocious. You get whatever. you work with it. So, Frank Sinatra, you know, he doesn't have a very distinctive voice, does he? Right?
No,
you're kind of run of the bill, kind of ordinary. Yeah. So, I said, sir, who is singing this song? And he's like, and I was dying with laughter. Because, I mean, you could, if you hear Frank Sinatra's voice a million miles away, you should be able to say, that's Sinatra, right? And at the same time, young miss was walking through the lobby. Couldn't have been more than 18 years old. And I say, excuse me, do you know who sings this song? And the first thing she says is like, well, I'm not that old. I'm saying, no, yes, that part is clear. But do you know who's singing the song? And she racked her tiny, tiny brain. And you know who she came up with? Sinatra. Now, this man cannot identify Sinatra's voice, nor one of his most popular songs. And claim that
I'd like you to name this.
Which is why I didn't call him a friend or an acquaintance, he's a person. worthless person.
But the question I have for you guys is, who do you think should play the role? Right? You they've been rumoring Johnny Depp and DiCaprio. Wisdom. Right?
That was strong, Andrew. Yeah? I would take that straw and pick Daniel Day-Lewis.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Actually, no. I don't know who could play it better.
Christian
really
Bale.
Care. As long as they get somebody.
Vin Diesel.
Actually, I pick Viggo while we're at it.
No, I think Christian Bale would work.
All right. Another news
Chuck
item.
Norris.
Right, he's got the blue eyes, right? Another news item that came out this week that Douglas would be interested in is that Ben Stiller dropped hints at a Zoolander 2 film and gave out plot points.
This is the stupidest news thing that we've talked about.
Again, I saw this article,
no one
but I
cares.
Haven't read it yet.
The reason why I love the first Zoolander is because of the plot. That's the real reason why I love it.
No, but
the plot.
All right.
All he needed to say, Zoolander 2.
Right.
Yeah. We'll move it on.
Alright. When he says plot points, I think he's been a little bit over-exaggerating, because it's really just a premise, right? To start out the movie.
Listen to me.
I love how he says he's over-exaggerating, and then says, you know, by plot,
yeah,
he means, and then insert synonym here.
Mm-hmm. The premise. Just something, you know, throw away, like the premise.
Yeah.
Andrew, no one likes this movie because of plot.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Because it's ridiculous.
Exactly.
I mean, Andrew, his friends died in a freak gasoline fight accident. Okay?
What the hell,
man?
He had a walk-off where he tried to take his underwear off while still wearing his pants. Nothing about this. Where do you write that in the plot description? Walk-off, underwear, pants?
I'm sure Owen Wilson just went up.
What?
Owen Wilson was doing his walk around and he was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this. And then he just pulled out his pants. And then they were like, I'm going to keep that in the movie. Yeah.
I'm sure the director was like, you guys are fucking idiots. But this is awesome.
Oh, by the way, the director was
like, moving right along.
So yeah, that's all we really had for news. That's all the news I could find when I was searching around this thing.
Well, we could talk about Darren Aronofsky has his
new movie. Or we could just move along. Darren Aronofsky was what?
He has his new movie coming out.
What's this new movie?
Pi Squared.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I'm just trying to find
something. Moving right along. Yeah. Andrew, what are we doing next? Trailers?
Yeah.
Trailers!
Right, so trailers came out this week, and we're gonna start off not with Damien's trailer, however, with the debut trailer for Sherlock Holmes.
I have a request. Someone I want to see. Sherlock Holmes. Mr. Holmes, you must widen your gaze. You underestimate the gravity of coming events. Tomorrow, at midday, the world as you know it will end.
Well,
there isn't any time to waste then.
Is there?
The witness stated that he saw Lord Blackwood rise from the grave.
I want you to find him and stop him.
That'll take every ounce of my not inconsiderable experience.
This may be a hobby to you, Mr. Holmes, but I do it for a living.
It does make a considerable difference to me, having someone with me on whom I can thoroughly rely.
Oh, it's nice to see you, Watson.
You've never complained about my methods before?
I never complain. When do I complain about you practicing the violin at 3 a.m? Or your mess? Your general lack of hygiene, or the fact that you steal my clothes?
Be a lady?
Holmes, does your depravity know no bounds?
No.
Trust me, I'm a professional. But beneath this pillow lies the key to my release.
Right, now, that was a trailer for Sherlock Holmes. What did you guys think?
Who's directing this movie?
Guy Ritchie.
Oh, alright. That's... I don't care. This trailer is awesome.
Alright, here's the thing, right? I'm battling on two extremes. The first extreme is I have this law about movies. It's called the Jude Law. If Jude Law is in a movie, it is shit. Essentially, that's the law. Not too many bells and fandangles. All right, but generally the law holds. I'm sure there are a couple exceptions, but as Andrew has said earlier, that is what proves the rule. Right.
Yes, but Andrew is also wrong.
also on the same extreme. Guy Ritchie hasn't done much extremely good stuff in a very long time. His really good stuff is Lock, Stock and Snatch.
I like Guy Ritchie. Huckabees.
Because you're an idiot. And
The Talented Mr. Ripley, that was good.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I remember liking that movie. But anyway.
Shit.
What?
I'm looking at what he's done. And it's not.
I know it's not good. That's why I told you I have this law.
But I know there's something I like.
Sneak It, actually, I didn't mind.
He was in AI, the worst movie of all time.
Yeah, the worst movie ever.
I remember liking Gattaca when I saw it.
Shut up. This movie was awful.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Shit.
and the other one on top of it, too.
Yeah, generally, it's bad.
What the Perdition? Kind of forgiven, but you didn't have a big part. The Holiday...
I still haven't been able to watch that movie. I'm very upset that he's in this one, the Imaginarium, because that could have been amazing. But then again, I put it down to the Gilliam factor. Gilliam can punch anybody in the face and make them give him a good acting. So, anyway, back to this trailer.
Yeah.
This trailer looked good, right? Robert Downey Jr., he's on my other extreme. I love that guy. He's generally in some... He might not be in a lot of, like, extremely good movies because of the way his career has turned out.
But now he's getting the movies.
Now he's getting those movies.
But and he's been in good movies. Yeah, and he has been. He's always a good actor, even bad movies.
Yeah, I think so too. So, there's that. There is the Guy Ritchie factor, which is a good and a bad. Because, as I said before, for a long time he hasn't done much really good stuff. Even his latest movie...
Rockstock.
Rock and Roller. I tried, and I convinced myself for a long time that I really like this movie. But
you don't like Rock and Roller?
I can't say that anymore.
I thought you were going to buy the DVD.
I thought so too. It's okay. It's good.
I liked it a lot.
It's
visuals without the depth.
Exactly. It's forcing. It's pushing too hard. It is Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels Part 3. Which I'm just like, you know what, guy? Try something else, no man, please. Because you've done 4 movies.
But you see, here's the thing, right? You say try something else. However, he has. And every time he's tried something else, it's been poor. Revolver.
Stop. How is Revolver something else? Revolver is not something
That's
else. It's the same movie.
It is a fair
question. Alright, I'll give you Swept Away. But I haven't watched that movie. And you like it, so shut up. Right? He has tried.
You're going against your point.
Exactly. You
just shot down that entirely.
I think I'll go and sleep. I'll go to sleep now.
That's impressive. By the quickest one in like 20 seconds.
2 points. So Guy Ritchie
10 minutes
tries to do the same movie over and over again, and with each time, I shouldn't say with each time, but he's done it well twice. He did awfully once, and he did it okay just recently.
Mr. Bubble and Squeak.
I love that movie. Anyway, I'm hoping that now with Sherlock Holmes, it lends itself to being the same type of movie. But I hope he tries, even if he keeps some elements of what he's used to, because all people do that. You have to kind of branch out from what you know. But even if he keeps some of those main building blocks, I hope he tries to branch out a little bit. And if he does, I think that it will benefit from it. Because he has proved himself to be an extremely good director. But he just needs to prove himself to be a director that can do more than 2 movies. So, that's what he needs to do. And, you know, there we go. So, he's on both good and bad ends. And then there's Rachel McAdams, who I think she's good to look at. And she's not a bad actress. I won't call her a great actress because she hasn't wowed me yet. But in most of the movies I've seen, I've enjoyed watching her and I've enjoyed watching the movie. I was very upset that for a long time she wasn't in movies. So I'm glad that she's coming back. She's got this movie, she's got the Russell Crowe movie, State of Play, and hopefully she's in more and hopefully she does well.
What do you Damon?
Well, that's... I like that trailer. I'm trying to think of what to say that...
Douglas hasn't already said.
Alright,
question...
Downey Jr. is a plus. I thought I liked Jude Law until I just had a look at his IMDb page. And clearly, I'm thinking of someone else. But McAdams is fine.
One thing I should say about Jude Law, though, I still think he's a decent actor. He's been in a lot of bad movies, but right?
He's been in my worst movie of all time.
Yeah,
which is reprehensible.
However, if you watch this movie, what is it? Sleuth. That's a horrible film. However, I do think Jude Law does well in a lot of the scenes.
I have seen about, if not an hour, maybe 45 minutes of that film. And my response to you is, shut the fuck up. Even though I haven't watched all the movie, shut up.
Maybe there is redemption for all of us.
Yeah, I'm not saying, like, honestly, Jude Law, though, I don't like him. The reason I don't like him is not because he's a bad actor. I wouldn't call him a bad actor. But you know what he is? He's in a lot of bad movies. So the thing about Jude Law, he could, you know, decide to be this great thing. But right now, he is just an average actor who acts in a lot of bad movies. And that's as bad as being a bad actor, because I just don't want to watch anything.
This is your fault. Because I had this movie as must-see. And because of you and your Jude Law nonsense, I was completely out of my mind. I mean, I saw Jude Law, I'm like,
whatever.
Jude Law, he's a pretty good actor.
But there's Mark Strong as well.
Yeah, there is Mark Strong. Mark Strong is good. You know what I found out the other day? I was rewatching one of, I shouldn't call it my favorite movies, but one of my favorite movies to watch nowadays, which is Stardust.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Strong is in it, and he's hilarious.
Do you know Brian from Space is in it too?
Give me a second. Where?
He is one of the princes who gets killed early on in the film.
Which one?
I can't remember the name. I was looking it up the other day, and he's in it.
Brian is in it?
Dude.
Can I tell you, man, I was just actually talking to somebody about Space, and they told me that Brian is in a, I don't know if it's a BBC show about Jane Austen, where he's like the, it's almost like Masterpiece Theatre, and apparently he's the guy that introduces everything.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, about this trio, one question I wanted to ask you guys, what do you guys think of Robert Downey Jr. and his English accent? Do you think it's like a parody accent, or do you think he's trying to be really...
I think it's a bit of both, and I think he does it okay.
Depending on how the
movie...
No, it works for the thriller, because the thriller looks fast and fun.
Yeah, you only get it 2.5 minutes.
Right. But if the movie, if there's sections where, you know, they try to, you know, make it deep and, you have to follow Sherlock's own train of thought, and it's like 20 minutes of seeing how he puts things together in order to figure shit out, and him talking to people and there's no action, it might get... It might all fall apart.
Listen, I've seen him pull off a British accent before. I couldn't tell you the name of the movie again. But it is a movie where he's like this idiot. Who is in the court of some, like, the King of England. And he gets married to this lady. Not because they want to get married, but because the lady is a mistress to the king. And the king needs a mistress to be married to somebody. So that
she can be near.
Exactly, she can be near him. So, and then there's that, and there's a whole heap of other stuff.
Is it a Leonardo DiCaprio accent? or is it a proper accent?
Hey, DiCaprio, though, the accent's too bad, you know. He's okay.
You keep telling yourself that.
Irish accent in
Gans
of New York.
Blood Diamonds, that's all I have to say to you.
Actually, that accent isn't bad.
It's not bad at all.
Have you ever heard South African?
Actually, I just went, I just had to talk to a South African guy.
And
I'm like, yes.
Alright, I have a friend who is from South Africa, and he was dying. Absolutely dying. Every time he heard
it. You're never going to get it 100%. Some people do. Some people
are
like that.
Yes, but all his movies, he's doing different accents. What is Leo? How does he talk normally? Does he speak without an accent? Is he American?
We'll find out in the Frank Sinatra film.
Exactly.
No, but then he'll still be speaking with the accent.
Anyway, I think Junior...
I'm hoping for the best. I'm getting this Jude Law out of my head. It's going to be awesome.
Yes, it is.
Douglas, I hate you.
Anyways, moving on. We're going to move on to our second trailer of the night, and that is Cormac McCarthy's The Road.
Officials have declared a state of emergency.
What's happening?
Do you think you're still alive?
In the world? Not very many.
It's a treat for you.
It's bubbly.
I won't survive another winter here.
Yeah, they keep moving. It's south to the coast.
Why'd y'all come on the truck?
You look at him again, I'll shoot you in the head.
I don't think you killed a man in your life.
They're gonna catch up with us.
I think we should go through this quickly. I like the cast. The layout looks okay. The situation looks okay. Like Damon was saying, this looks like a better version of I Am Legend. So I would say thumbs up for this, especially because one person in particular, and this is not one of the big casts. This is not Mortensen. This is not Theron. This is none of those guys. This is a man who I don't even know his name. Right. I've read his name before, but I don't really know who he is. He I know most as Cromarty from the recently deceased Sarah Connor Chronicles. He was also in movies like something that this guy wrote, No Country for Old Men. He was in The Assassination of Jesse James. He is... I mean, like, if you watch him in Terminator, you think he's not that great, but... But you watch him in these movies, and he's fantastic, and everybody's pointing at the screen, and his name is Garrett Dillahunt, okay? He is, I think, if he gets the right roles, he could be a really good character actor. He could be like Steve Buscemi, or even better than a Steve Buscemi. I think he could be, you know, one of the great guys. Or at least that's what I'm hoping. Because from the stuff that I've seen, he looks like he's really, you know, on his shit. And I hope that he doesn't prove me wrong.
Okay. This movie deals with post-apocalyptic time, civilization has ended. And I love those movies. I love movies that...
Just like Blade Runner.
That deal with the end of times. Because, I mean... It's not going to happen. George Bush is no longer president. So we've dodged that bullet.
Wow. So what are you, Brutal?
He's an Arsenal fan.
You're an Arsenal fan?
I talked to him on Twitter.
Oh, boy.
Chop, sir.
Anyways, back to what you were saying.
Right. So, this movie... This movie is my type of movie. I love these movies. Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, because it's the end of the world when Arsenal wins the title.
Oh, that's kind of something that certain types of people would say, you know, when they're on a stage with a joke. That's what I was. It's a joke. Right. This movie. I hope this movie is awesome. I like the cast. I like the premise, and the trailer looks great. So I can't wait. Carib not showing this.
No, Carib not showing it. Actually, I think there's a chance.
Oh yeah,
there's a chance.
They keep it PG, man.
I generally don't have love for many post-apocalyptic films. I mean, one of my favorite is Children of Men, right? But I mean, a lot of them I'm not a fan of, especially when you look at some of them. Like, what was that last one last year? Day the Earth Stood Still.
I love them.
That was horrible. there's so many bad ones, right? However, one thing that
draws one. There was an Alex Proyas one, The Knowing. That was really good.
I like that
movie. Insert sarcasm here.
Still haven't seen it. No, but I love the... I mean, even the bad ones, right? I'm not going to say it's a great movie.
Yeah,
I still love the movie because I like what the topic is dealing with. I like how, like, there's this movie that there's only a teaser on a website for, 2012, where the Aztec calendar ends in 2012, and the teaser is just a tidal wave destroying the Himalayas. And it looks, I mean, I just need to see that scene.
Did you watch 10,000 BC?
Yeah.
I still haven't watched that movie. I've been avoiding it.
It's Apocalypto for children.
The only thing that's driving me to this movie is Cormac McCarthy wrote the book.
Viggo Mortensen
is in it.
He's the king.
And Omar from The Wire is in it. Even though I'm sure he's not in it for more than 15 minutes, it still looks hilarious. I'm sorry, not hilarious. I mean, it's still something I look forward to. Right? But this one is on the... It's not a completely sold for me yet. Right?
I'm sold. I'm hopeful.
You're hopeful.
That's what I am.
Anyways, let's move on to the last trailer of the night.
Viggo doesn't make shitty movies.
And this will be 9.
Directing a movie is a very overrated job. We all know it. You just have to say yes and no. What else do you do? Nothing. Maestro, should this be red? Yes. Green? No. More extras? Yes. More lipstick? No. Yes, no. Yes, no. It's directing.
Be Italian. Be Italian. Take a chance and try to steal a fiery kiss. When you hold me, don't just hold me, but hold this.
Liar, darling. Go out there and lie for Italy. Lie for Italy.
Alright, so listen. Clearly this is a musical.
Thank you. He's a legend.
And on top of that, Daniel Day-Lewis is in this movie. There are a few other pretty faces, but here's the deal, right? I am not fully sold. However, what I am sold on is the fact that I think Daniel Day-Lewis is one of the best actors of, you know, now.
Yes.
Therefore,
I completely agree.
Therefore, by that token, I will watch this movie in, again, hopefulness. I will hope that this movie is good. And
Damien said just before this trailer ended that he wasn't sure exactly what this movie was, right? So I'm just going to give him what it's about. I'm going to give him the context, right? This movie, 9, is based on a musical.
Really?
That ran on Broadway for, like, I think 20 years now, which is based on Federico Fellini's 8 and a Half.
Of course it is.
Right?
I've seen that. Made that connection.
That's why it's 9. They added on that extra half.
Yeah. That's the Daniel Day-Lewis half.
And this movie is directed by Rob Marshall, the same guy who did Chicago.
Uh-huh. Right. Wait, sorry, is that supposed to make me impressed?
No, he's just telling us.
I'm just telling you the facts.
No, no, I know for a fact that's supposed to make me impressed. Because
it makes me, it impresses me. Right? I don't know if it'll impress you.
I'm going to tell you from now, Andrew. I thought Chicago was a decent movie. But if you tell me it's directed by the director of Chicago, I'm going to be like, and?
Okay, so Blade Runner and Chicago after the podcast. Okay, okay.
No, 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 no. He's a Blade Runner guy. Oh, I saw you saying you were watching. Okay. No, I've seen it many times. It's okay. But it's not like, oh my goodness, I have to drop my pants because this is awesome. Like, what the hell?
But it is awesome.
No, it's not. It's it's decent.
So from what you have told me, I am now even less interested in this movie. No. This movie going to, like, one rainy day, bored, out of my mind, can't find a DBZ movie. No, the cartoon movies, not that.
I am sold 100%.
We know you are.
I mean, I love musicals.
If you come back and you're realistic about how the movie was, like you said, you know, it could have been tighter here, and some of the performances are a bit lackluster. But overall, it was a pretty good movie. If you come back and say that to me, I'll watch it. Because I know that's not where you're going to come back. I'm like, this movie was so awesome. The music was fantastic. Everybody was great. This director is the best. Like, I'm buying the Blu-ray the second it comes out.
By the way, I have Chicago on DVD.
You've already made up your mind about a movie you haven't seen.
Yes, I have. Just like how you've already made up your mind about The Road.
No, but if The Road is not great, I'll admit that it's not great. Right? I'll probably still love it because if it does the material right. But like you said, The Day the Earth Stood Still, I don't like that movie at all. Right? And that movie should be my movie. That's what I want.
Well, right? This is my movie.
Yes, Andrew. But while I am willing to say that my movie did not turn into what I want, you won't say that you're going to be... You can write a review for this movie? No.
Probably could. And can I tell you, I plan on watching 8.5 this weekend.
Good work,
sir. So nothing else? Alright, let's move into our feature review of Last Chance Harvey.
On the way to London for his daughter's wedding.
Excuse me, I'm on the 130 flight.
Sorry, that flight's now closed.
But all I have is hand luggage.
So that is not hand luggage.
What, this? You're right. Okay. Now will you let me on?
Harvey is hitting a little turbulence.
Harvey, it's over. We're letting you go.
Dad, for the past few years, Brian's been a really big part of my life.
Salute.
I'm going to ask him to give me away tomorrow.
But you never know what tomorrow will bring.
Can I have a Johnny Walker?
That'll help.
Help as much as that trashy novel and a glass of Chardonnay. Oh, I'm sorry. That was out of line. It's just that I lost my job and my daughter, who's getting married today, wanted her stepfather to give her away.
Fair enough. You win.
Let me make it up to both of us and I'll buy you lunch.
Thanks very much, but I don't know you and you don't know me.
That's exactly why we should have lunch together.
Here's the taxi rank. They'll take you to wherever you want to go.
You mean instead of me walking you to your class, carry your books? I'll throw that in.
I'm sorry. Hello, Mum. No, I'm out, actually. Yes? With someone. Yes, a man.
Is the wedding reception still going on?
You come with me.
I can't go to a wedding reception in green polyester.
You trying to get me to buy you a new dress?
No.
Remembering when I saw your face shining my way, pure timing.
Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me back.
And suddenly you're in love with everything.
Do this. We don't know anything about each other.
Meet me here tomorrow, will you?
You think that now. You wait till tomorrow.
Today is tomorrow.
Shut up, Harvey.
Andrew forced me to watch this movie.
Yes, it was my pick.
I told Andrew from the get-go, from way before he said, let's review this movie. When the first trailer came out for this movie, I watched it and I said, Andrew, this movie is going to be fair to average. This movie is not going to be that good. Sorry.
Go ahead. I saw the trailer and I confused this movie with Nights at the Roddy. Richard Gere, Richard Gere's latest travesty. The trailers are so similar.
Is that the one where he goes to Dan Lin's house?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So I'm like, oh, they're making the same. Isn't this the same movie? And then I read, no, there's two completely different movies dealing with the same topic. It's going to go the same way. It'll be the same nonsense.
Yep. So again, basically what Andrew has us watching, right, is another version, or not even a version,
a
I don't know
far
what to say.
Inferior version.
Yes, a far, like, before sunset.
Exactly.
And you see, the thing about this movie is it tries to be more than that. It tries to not just be, no, not more in the sense of better. More in the sense of more.
Oh.
Right? It tries
more.
Yeah, it tries to not just be conversation driven and just be, this is what happens when these two people meet and they interact and they start to like each other. They were like, you know what, I'm going to give you a story behind it. Not just a story, but all of these events that, you know, tie together and all sorts of rubbish. So, I will give you Andrew. I felt it for the man.
What
right when he went to his daughter's wedding and the daughter said, I don't want you to give me away. I felt it for him. They did that well. They showed that sort of emotional tie there, like, holy crap, oh, I'm the only one with a hotel room. Your mother rented a house for everybody else. I'm going to take that and I'm going to put it down deep and I'm never going to talk about it again. I got that, right? This is a very sad man who, yeah, he's probably been a dick before, but he tries to not be, like, a complete asshole. And he is sad because he hasn't lived the way he should live, though he's not completely an awful person. So I understand that. That's great. And that is, you know, the build-up to what happens here, where he meets this lady and they kind of get along and they have this conversation and, you know, of course, by the end they're falling in love and crap. But
this is
essentially the only part that they got right was, I am a man who is really sad because, you know, my family don't like me and nobody loves me and I'm about to lose my job and all sorts of rubbish. So they got that part right, but the rest was just kind of half-assed.
To cut in here, Andrew, I need to know your feelings about this movie before I start, because it won't be pretty.
Alright, now, I mean, you guys know, whenever I pick a movie, first of all, it's a movie I haven't seen. Alright?
This sounds like a preface for an apology. Let's keep going.
This is a preface for an apology. I'm sorry. This movie, I think, is average. Right? Right? Like, if I hadn't seen films like Before Sunrise or In the Search of a Midnight Kiss, fuck you, Douglas.
Yeah. No, he's working too hard.
Bad,
right?
You know.
He wants to watch us another time. And his brain can absorb the
greatness. I'm not saying it's a
bad
movie. I'm just saying that in comparison.
Whatever, Douglas.
Whatever, right? If I hadn't seen films like that, I think I probably could have thought better of this movie. Because the reason why I chose this film was because I like Dustin Hoffman. Right? I like him as an actor. I like the characters he plays a lot.
By the
way,
can I interject and just say that you're a douchebag?
I'm a douchebag.
Yes, because I've had this conversation with you already about In Search of a Midnight Kiss. And you're like, yeah, I agree with you. It was only average. I don't know why Damon was playing it off.
No, I didn't ever say that.
In those exact words.
Whatever.
Anyway,
let's continue.
This movie, as I said, average. Right? In the Search of a Midnight Kiss and Before Sunrise is so much better than this. And I don't know whether the writers of this movie went out and saw that film and tried to transcribe it for people over the age of 50. You know, because it felt like they were just hitting on nearly every point that Before Sunrise did. Which we reviewed all around.
Actually, they didn't.
No, they were trying.
Yeah.
No, there's that. Trying is the key word.
And they didn't try it for everyone.
All right.
Or if they did, they were really awful in doing so.
Alright.
And they just tagged on a couple of wedding elements to it. And other than that, this movie had nothing.
And it
makes me feel even worse because Emma Thompson and Dustin Hoffman were nominated for Golden Globes for this film.
Right.
So
because people like names.
So here's what this movie is bad. There's no Andrew was trying to be nice because he forced us to watch this movie. But this movie is about two sad people with nothing in common that meet each other by chance, and instead of being sad and lonely away from each other, they decided to be sad together. There's only one point in this movie that works for me at all.
What's that?
And it is the speech that he gave at the reception.
Yeah, that was good.
He's like, I want to thank you, I want to thank you. That's it. That's all the work went into that one speech. Nothing else in this entire movie felt authentic to me. None of their conversations, none of the things that happened. Right? The situations that these two people are in, they shouldn't, like, no matter what he had said to her at the bar, that would have been it. She'd have gone, but I know what happens to people when they drink Johnny Walker. They don't become more pleasant. It is impossible. I've seen it. That's not how Johnny Walker works. If it was, no one would bite.
I'd like to say Johnny Walker works that way.
It makes you pleasant? Where? It's never happened. This movie, like, it tries, as you said, the before sunrise, the before sunset, you know, but it misses the point entirely. Because all of those movies, it's like, it's partly the conversation between these people, but it's also partly, like, a love story about the city. Anything can happen in this city. But these people didn't go anywhere. Right? It was not about the city at all. So they went to a park where there's water that springs out. The water, I'm like, what the hell? Oh, they could have been anywhere. They could have been in Zimbabwe for all we know. Nobody cares because they didn't make it up. All of the other movies that we spoke about made it a point to, you know, show that this city is magical and anything can happen. You know, so, right? The conversations, good lord. Good. No, I mean, honestly, she, like, at the end of the first date, she's talking about some abortion that she had, and he talks about being a shitty father, like, 2 minutes into the conversation. And they both just sit together. There's two sad people, right? And what annoyed me the most is that at the end of the movie, they tried to do something funny with the mother,
I saw that side about coming from a mile away. I was like, by the end of this movie, the mother's gonna love her, the neighbor, but they never quite pulled it off.
I saw it and I'm like,
they never pushed it that far.
When the movie ended and I thought it was done, I'm like, thank you for leaving that off. I don't need any more. So just roll me the credits and let me.
Wait, there's more after the credits?
After the credits, she goes, the mother, our grand, whatever she is, she goes over to the Polish man's house and thanks him for the ham. And he invites her outside and they slam the, like they're doing the tongue and cheek. He's like, smiling.
No, listen, guys, I didn't even get that far. End of credits, what the hell? I press stop immediately.
I was doing other things because I like to let credits run. Because when the movie is finished, start straightening up things, putting things in order because I had places to go. And then I hear talking, I'm like, what? I'm like, oh shit. this movie should be filed away with like Meet the Spartans. This movie's let's be fair. The actors are good actors.
Yeah.
But this movie's bad. No one needs to see this movie.
No.
Just like no one needs to see Meet the Spartans. It's not on the same level. I'm not saying that it's as bad.
However,
but no one ever needs to see this movie. Would you recommend this to anybody?
I don't think
so. What state? How drunk would you have to
this,
be?
This movie...
These three more of these guys.
This movie, to me, is one of those films that I think is worth it. If it's like a Sunday afternoon with nothing to watch and you just... Stringing past the channels on HBO, you catch it on for no reason.
He's your brother. This is your fault. As the older brother, should have pimp slapped all this dust.
Is it too late to start now?
I don't think it is. Stay off your shoe or a pimp. Completely ridiculous.
You London.
No. Sir, I don't want to. I mean, I sound overly harsh about this movie, but no one needs to see this movie. Honestly, this movie is a Me Too movie. Right? One of those that they saw a template and they're like, oh, we can do that.
Yeah.
And they cranked it up. I'm sure this movie didn't take like 2 months to shoot. They just cranked this out and put it out and they're like, yeah, this it's out. So if you don't want to watch it. No, there's too many better movies. Right? There's better movies of this type. This is exactly what Paint by Numbers is. Nothing original exists in this movie. No, there's not any sign of that. This movie.
No, I never said it was
sad.
Original.
This is a sad, sad movie, and I don't think I wouldn't even my mother likes these kinds, like most, and I wouldn't recommend it to her. I'm going to, in fact, find some way to surgically erase this movie. I mean, there must be some because this movie is bad.
Well, if you like Eternal Sunshine, then there would be a way. I guess
since you know it. No, listen, it's not that bad.
Yeah, I guess
keep anyway, I don't like some people as automatically. I just don't love it as much as you guys do. Not even close.
I rewatched that movie the other day. Oh, I love it.
So good.
Anyways,
wandering.
Is there anything else you guys wanted to add before we sign off?
Watch better movies.
I wanted to add that I really am sad that I had to watch that movie.
Yes.
That movie...
I'll do better next week. That's...
You need to. Because so, I need something to watch.
I need to find some kick-ass. To watch.
Alright, so that's it for us this week. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
Ask now for Everson.
You can find all episodes on gmanreviews.com.
No, you can.
You can email us.
Let's be clear.
You can email us at unnamed@gmanreviews.com. You can also find us on iTunes. We're also on the podcast alley. You can follow Andrew here at gmanreviews. Yeah. That's his name on Twitter.
He's
my name is DJR, lost his name. And Damien's name, of course, is Vibes Cartel. And so, we bid you adieu tonight.
He's
no on. More from us. Good night, everyone.
Been a long time.
Yes, ma'am. A lot of water under the bridge.
Some of the old songs, Sam.
Yes, ma'am.
Where is Rick?
I don't know. I ain't seen him all night.
When will he be back?
Not tonight no more. He ain't coming. He went home.
Does he always leave so early?
Oh, he never. Well, he's got a girl up to the Blue Parrot. He goes up there all the time.
You used to be a much better liar, Sam.
Leave him alone, Miss Elsa. You bad luck to him.
Play it once, Sam. For all time's sake.
I don't know what you mean, Miss Elsa.
Play it, Sam. Play as time goes by.
Oh, I can't remember it, Miss Elsa. I'm a little rusty on it.
I'll hum it for you. Sing it, Sam.
You must remember this. A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by.
And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you. On that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by.
Sam, I thought I told you never to play.